You can open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. On the screens, if you can go to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 139 and verse 16 in the Amplified. We're opening up to Romans, Romans chapter 8. And on the screens, if you can go to Psalms chapter 139, verse 16 in the Amplified. We started talking about last Sunday how to be led by the Spirit of God. And it is, quite honestly, a fascinating subject to me. I think it's strange that so many people have no awareness of this subject. That's something we want to remedy and cure. Because this absolutely has the potential to be life-changing. I know that there are some individuals in this room who this is not your first rodeo with this subject. If you've gone to this church for any length of time, we teach on it quite a good bit. But it's one that we're going to continue teaching on because it's not the word that we know that changes us. It's the word that we do. But there are other people here who maybe this is your first time hearing anything like this. For you, this is an amazing day. It's an amazing series. Because when you really grasp this and your eyes are open to what God is saying here in His Word, it just has the power to be life-changing. I was telling first service this past week, I was driving up to my mother-in-law's birthday. She just turned 60. And we were driving up there, me and my wife and two kids. And it's funny, you know, on those road trips, everyone just kind of falls asleep on you. They're all sleeping, and then the cartoon's going, and so you can't turn the cartoon off because you don't want to wake up the kids. And anyway, so you're stuck there listening to Donald Duck talk to you for an hour. So anyway, the only thing to do is to pray. You have no other option. I mean, so there I am, and I'm praying and just spending some good time with the Lord and thinking about this series. I couldn't help but to think of a movie, Back to the Future. I don't know if any of you saw that. I think it came out maybe in the late 80s, mid 80s, but I forget which one it was, but in one of them, they actually went into the future. And I think it was like 2020 or something like that where they actually went into the future. And anyway, in one of the scenes, they're getting ready to go back to the past, I think 1950, and Michael J. Fox has an almanac. You know, in an almanac of sports. And, you know, in these sports almanacs, what enables you to do is to go back into the past and look at all the scores. You can see who won the Notre Dame game in 1970, and you'll see the outcome of the game and other statistics. And anyway, Michael J. Fox, his character, has this great idea. Man, if I can take that to the past and actually know the future, you can see how that could help you make some pretty good investments. And anyway, the doctor, Doc, talks him out of it, and they throw it in a trash can. And Biff, who up to that point, his life has not worked out. Biff is the lead bad guy. Up to that time, his life has not worked out the way that he would like it to go. It just didn't achieve what he thought it would achieve. And here he is, and he sees this almanac, and he gets the same bright idea. And he goes back in time and gives the old Biff, or the young Biff in 1950, a copy of that sports almanac. And you can see for both of them, the lights come on of what a supreme advantage this is to have this in their possession. That this would actually enable them to decipher and discern the future with accuracy. And then to, you know, make sports bets. And you know, if you've seen the movie, what happens, he builds up this empire and that type of thing. But just that moment in the movie where the light bulbs come on as to what this means. And that's what I'm going for in this series is for a light bulb to come on in all of our hearts as to what is actually in our possession. I grew up in a household that talked about these things a lot. It was a fabric in my father and mother's life on being led by the Holy Spirit and believing that God has a plan for me and He's willing to communicate that plan to me by His Spirit. And I grew up with that. And just even as a young boy, I knew in my heart that if I could learn this, if I could learn how to hear from God, if I could really learn to decipher and to discern the Lord's voice, then I would have it made. I mean, if I married the person the Lord has planned for me, if I live where the Lord wants me to live and I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do and I'm making decisions because I honestly believe it's the Lord directing me to make those decisions, then all of those things are bound to work out right. They're bound to be somewhat successful. And over the course of years now, I'm more convinced than ever if I can learn to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, I'll have it made. I mean, I'm convinced of that. And I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in my own family that, you know, like I said last week, I look back over the big victories in my life and it's because I was led by the Lord to make those decisions. Now, so many people, when they hear that led by the Lord or the Lord said unto me, they think of voices and all of these things. What I want to clarify in this series is really how to hear from the Lord in a practical, everyday way. For you to understand that this is not something that's so spectacular that it's something that is only taking place for those in ministry, but it's something that the Lord wants to give you. The Lord wants you to know His voice and to know His will. And in order for us to move our lives in that direction, we have to understand some things. Hearing the Lord's voice, it's like we said last Sunday, it's a skill, and just like any skill, you have to practice at it and be around it and get familiar with it before you're excellent with that skill. But I'm convinced if you'll take these skills that we're giving you and apply them to your life, you will know the Lord's voice just like you know your voice. You'll know the Lord's voice just like you know your wife's voice. And all of these questions, well, is that God or is that just me? They'll be eliminated. You know, this is God speaking to me. I need to act. And that's where I want your life to be, for you to know the voice of the Lord. In order for us to get our lives over into that place, I want to share something with you that has meant the world to me throughout the years. There's a particular minister who he teaches a lot of subjects well, but whenever he gets over on this subject, my ears just perk up because he's a teacher, and typically with most teachers, they have a subject that they specialize on. You know, there are a pastor, he's kind of a general practitioner. You know, you've got to teach every subject, and you've got to teach on family as well as faith, and faith as well as all these other subjects. But a teacher generally has a certain bent to them, and when they get on that one subject, I mean, it's just life. And they could get off on another subject, but it seems like it always comes back to that subject because that's their bent. That's what God has anointed them and called them to teach. And anyway, when he gets on this subject, I mean, I will get the podcast, listen to it over and over and over again because it's always so full of life. And with this particular subject of being led by the Spirit of the Lord, I was listening to a CD. Well, actually, I think back in those days it was a tape. And he said something on there. He said three words that if you can learn to do these three things, then learning to be led by the Spirit of God will be something that comes naturally to you. It's just natural. I want to give you these three words and then expound upon them today. Now, in first service, we only got to the first word, so we'll see where we wound up in this service. But our goal is to get to all three. The first word is this, respect. Respect. I'm giving you a kind of a recipe to be led by the Lord, how to know the Lord's voice. The first word is respect. The second word is recognize. Recognize. And the third word is respond. Respect, recognize, and respond. You must respect the fact that God has a plan for you. And when I say respect, I mean it carries weight with you. Two, you must recognize His voice. A lot of people, they know number one, kind of, but they don't know number two. They don't know how to recognize the Lord's voice. Like I said, the biggest thing that people say is this God or is this just me? That's a problem with recognizing the Lord's voice. And the third R, respond, is you must respond to God's voice. If the Lord speaks to your heart to do something and you don't do it, you run the risk of hardening your heart. And that's a dangerous place to be. We'll talk about that further in a little while, perhaps next week. We'll see. But with this, let's talk first about number one. You must, and I must, respect the fact that God has a plan for me. Now, once again, when I say that word respect, what I mean is it carries weight with you. Now, if it really carries weight with you that God has a plan for you, there's no way you're waking up today and not asking Him what it is. All right? I'm serious with this kind of stuff. You must understand you're not here by accident. You know, I think we run, especially in our culture, this kind of mentality that I can do whatever I want to do, and I'm a free man, I'm a free woman, I can be who I want to be, I can do what I want to do. And that's kind of true, but not really. For all of us, God has a specific plan for your life to accomplish. There is a specific path your life is to walk down. And I think all of us know this. I think all of us in our heart want to search and have a longing to know what is the plan and will of God. But you've got to respect that enough to where you refuse to do anything unless it is His will. And I'm not talking about being in bondage. I was talking to my father-in-law this past week, and he's walked with the Lord for a number of years. And he was saying when he first got saved, he got in this little small prayer group, and they'd go to church and then go pray, and they'd get in a prayer circle, and they'd pray and ask God, Lord, show us what to eat today. Show us what restaurant to go to today. And it's good to be dependent upon the Lord, I guess, even to that extent. But friends, just go eat something healthy. Go eat some spinach or chicken or, something that, just go eat. But also, so you're kind of laughing about that, but also having that same kind of heart, though, that in one sense, it is funny and you shouldn't take it that serious, but on another side, you should take it serious. On another side, you should realize God really does have a plan for me, that today God really has ordained a place that I should be. I believe for all of us, that's probably here. God planned before time that we should be here. But God's got a plan for everything. He's got a plan for everything. I'll give you a couple of scriptures to support my case. In Psalms 139, verse 16, in the Amplified, it says, it's talking about God. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. He's talking about even before I was formed in my mother's womb, your eyes, God's eyes, saw my unformed substance. And in your book, in God's book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape. Before I ever lived them out. Before I saw today, God has a plan written about how today should go. When as yet there was none of them. Before I ever get to next month, God knows what I should be doing next month. He knows I should be talking to, what I should be listening to, what advice I should be taking, what investments I should be making, what prayers I should be praying, what scriptures I should be reading. God has a plan, friend, literally a plan. Just how some of us will organize our day before we live out the day and on paper put out things we should do. And if you do that, it's very seldom you ever actually get to those things and they go the right way. But God has a plan just like that. Before we existed, He ordained a plan for us. He ordained an assignment for us. And in order to be led by God, you got to respect this fact. That's got to carry weight with you. How many people just wake up and live? It's like I was saying Wednesday night. If you want to live for God, the only way to do it is on purpose. You can't just wake up and start living and go in neutral. You'll live natural just like every other human by default. The only way to live for God is on purpose. On purpose, you wake up and say, God, I know you got a plan for my life. And you said in your word that in all my ways, if I would acknowledge you, you will direct my path. I want your path, Lord. I don't want to be walking in my path. I want to be walking in your path. There's another scripture in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. I like it in the NIV. It says, from one man, talking about Adam, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit. And he determined, now listen to this, and he determined the times set for them, meaning the time you would be born. God determined that before the foundation of the world. God knew you'd be born during this time. He set your time before you ever lived it. And the exact places where they should live. God set your times when you should be born. He set where you should live. He set all of that up. And it says that God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. Before you were ever on this earth, God had a plan. And you and I, we must respect that plan. We must make a decision to walk in his purposes. And when I say decision, I mean literally daily. Waking up daily and saying, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be saying what you want me to say. I want to be doing what you want me to do. The first step to being led by the Lord is yieldedness. You've got to be yielded to his plan. Yielded to his purposes. And this is why. Because in his plan, that's where true success and fulfillment is. In Romans chapter 8, which you opened up to, and on the screens, if you can go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, we'll see what we're talking about here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We mentioned this scripture last week, but I wanted you to lay your eyes on it in your Bibles there. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, watch what it says. And we know that all things, this is a common scripture quoted, but many people don't know why they're quoting it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. If I am in the purpose of God, what is going to happen? All things are going to work together for my what? For my good. If I am in his what? Purpose. If I'm not in his purpose, come on now. God's plan, I've said this a lot here lately, I want to keep saying it. God's plan, it's already blessed. It's his plan. God's plan, it's already graced. It's his plan. God's plan already has his favor on it because it is his plan. Our goal in life is to not to get God to come over here and bend towards our will. Our goal in life is to get over here and bend our will towards his because his will is already blessed. When I'm walking in the plans and purposes of God, it does not mean that everything in my life will go just 100% the way I want it to go all the time and I won't face any adversaries or any obstacles. No, you will. The difference, though, is when you're in God's plan, all of those things always work out together for the good. That when you're going through these tests and trials that we have to overcome with our faith, that the enemy is throwing our way, it's not that we're lingering in those things, going through a 10-year slump. We're overcoming those things because we are in the plan of God. And if it be of God, nothing the enemy can throw at it can stop it because it's born of him. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, oh, I love Proverbs chapter 4. Go home and read it. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. But we only have time to look at verse 18. It says, but the path of the just. Notice that phrase, the path. There's a path. There's a path that your life should be on. There's a path that my life should be on. Why do we have paths? Paths lead to things. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Notice what happens to the path of the just. It gets brighter and brighter. It shines more and more. Nowhere in the Bible does it mention slump. The path of the righteous sometimes will go through a 10-year slump. No, it says the path of the righteous, it should be getting brighter and brighter. The light should be shining. more and more. And this is why, in order to fully grasp this, you must have humility. And there must be a side of you that says, you know what, if my life is not getting brighter and brighter, maybe I'm not on the right path. If I'm going through this and, man, it's prolonged and I'm not seeing results for an extended period of time, maybe I'm on the wrong path. It's like we mentioned last week. You remember Paul? He's about ready to get on this boat. He's a prisoner. He's about ready to get on the boat. You can go and listen to our podcast from last week. And he's getting on there. Before he gets on there, he perceives, I don't think this is the path. I don't think my life needs to get on this boat. In fact, I think if I get on this boat, I may die. And we're going to lose all the goods that are on this ship. And it's just in his heart, he perceives, I don't need to go here. But what happens? They get on the boat anyway. What happens when they get on the boat anyway and they override? They don't respond to the leading of the Lord, and instead they disobey it. What happens? A huge storm comes up, just like the Lord said there would come. And a huge storm comes up, and here people call things like that acts of God. But when you read the Bible, you see that wasn't an act of God. In fact, God was acting to try to keep his man out of that storm. But yet he finds his life in it, not because God sent it. God was trying to send him away from the storm, but he didn't listen to what was in his heart. And because his life got off the path, here he finds himself in a storm where it's literally tearing apart the ship, literally tearing it apart. And they all had to cry out for mercy, and thank God for his mercy, because God wound up saving all of their lives. But they did lose all the stuff that was on that ship. Was it the will of God? No. Well, God's will always be done. Not that day it wasn't. Come on, somebody. Not that day it wasn't. God's will was for Paul to never get on that boat, for that ship to never leave that harbor. But when they disobeyed the will of God, that's when their life came into harm. And once again, I'm not saying that in God's will you won't have adversaries. Sure you will. Paul said that a great door has been opened unto me, and I'll have face many adversaries. Yes, the enemy will always try to hinder the plan of God. But here's the thing. When it's God pushing you forward, it's not as if you can't make progress. God is causing that progress to happen by his divine grace. And you face these obstacles, but the hand of God just pushes you right through them. Your belief and faith in him just pushes you right through them. Why? It's his plan. And nothing in this world can stop it, friend. Nothing in this world can stop the plan of God. The devil is the loser. You know that, right? He's not a loser. He is the loser. You remember before the earth was ever created, Satan was in heaven and he had this grand idea. I'm going to overthrow God. What happened? He lost. And then after that, he gets this idea that, hey, I'm going to wipe out all the children of Israel in one fell swoop with Pharaoh and keep them in bondage. And then Moses got raised up by God and the devil lost. And then after that, you see him, make a long story short, Jesus comes and he thinks he's got Jesus in a tomb, man. He thinks he's got him in a tomb. And all of a sudden, Jesus, 3 days later, he's arisen with a glorified body and victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the enemy, he lost. And you read the book of Revelations and you see that at the end of it all, he loses. I mean, we win and he loses. He's not just a loser, he is the loser. And guess what you are? More than a conqueror. More than a winner. Why am I more than a winner? Because Jesus Christ has saved my life and he's fighting my battles for me. The battle's not mine. The battle is the Lord's and he wins all the battles. So in his plan, yes, I will face hindrance from the enemy, but he's the loser. We just run right over that. The problem is, though, is most people don't ever get on the plan. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't believe for something that's outside of God's will. That's the nature of the Bible, is to find out what is the will of God. And then from that, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword that splits asunder the soul and the spirit, splits us apart what is you and what is God. When you read the Word of God, it gets you familiar with the voice of God. It splits asunder the soul and the spirit, and then God enlightens your spirit, and you know, this is the way I need to go. Oh, this is the path I need to take. But see, most people have never put themselves in a position to hear the Lord because they don't take the time to respect Him. Remember, when Moses wanted to hear from God, he had to draw near. And most people, they just never take the time to draw near. The Lord's plan, it is a blessed plan. I remember listening to, my goodness, it's 10:55. We got 5 more minutes, friends. I don't know what I can do in 5 minutes. We'll see. So with this, I was listening to a man teach along these lines. And he was saying, he was talking about the Lord's plan and how in the Lord's plan it gets brighter and brighter using that scripture in Proverbs. He said at the end of a service, an elderly gentleman came up to him and said, for years, we've struggled, me and my wife, just for years. We've always struggled financially. And he said, man, for years we've struggled with our health. And he said, I've never really seen why until this. Basically, he was saying, I see why I'm in this storm. It's because I got on something that the Lord never told me to get on. And this is how most people live. He lived that way for decades. He said, when I was a young man in my early 20s, I got born again. And me and my wife, we were newlyweds. And he said, we're in a service and we were just praising and worshiping the Lord. And he said, I knew right then God had called me to go to Africa and be a missionary. He said, you know, I always felt the call to ministry, but I didn't have any specific direction. And now specific direction came. I knew I was supposed to go there. He said, I talked it over with my wife. And we just decided that we couldn't do that. And, you know, just the sacrifice it would take to do that, we just weren't willing to make. He said, look at my life now, and man, I can see the mercy of God, how God came in and helped us and healed us and blessed us. But he said, I know I'm not walking in God's plan. He said, I knew what God's plan was when I was a young man, and I never decided to do it. See, God will bless you as much as you can. Just like with you and your kids. You'll bless your kids as much as you can if you're a good father, if you're a good mother. You'll bless them as much as you can. But if they're living outside of your will, then the full measure of your blessing cannot reach them. It's like the prodigal son. He was always a son of the father, but he wasn't enjoying the father's provision when he was outside of the father's plan. Does that make sense? When he was outside of the father's plan, what did he see? He saw his friends neglect him. He saw a pigsty. He saw bondage. He saw not having enough. He saw poverty. And it wasn't because the father wanted that for him. The father wanted to give him his inheritance. He gave it to him. What got him there? He went off the plan. He took a wrong path. But, aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Once he woke up and he came to himself, and that's what we want. We want to come to ourselves. Once he woke up and said, man, I know God's got something better for me than this. Oh, man, I know even the servants in my father's house get treated better than this. And I just go back, even if he won't accept me as a son, I just become a servant again. I know it's better than this. And he goes back home, and what happens when he gets there? The father's there, and he loves on him, and he blesses him, and he slays the fatted calf. Why? Why? Because he's his son? No. He was his son in the pigsty. It's because his son got on the path again. His son got on the plan again. God has a plan, friend. And it is an exceedingly good plan. And the exciting thing is, you can know it. You hear people say this. Well, with God, they're real spiritual. You know, they'll use their spiritual voice. Well, with God, you just never know. With God, you just never know. Do you know that's not a scripture? It's like one lady, well, the song says, the song says. So you're basing your life off of what the song says. No, 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 no. What does the Bible say? Well, with God, you just never know. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, from before to this point, you've been servants. A servant knows not what his master doeth. But from here on out, you shall be called no more servants, but friends, giving the implication that you can know now. You can know the will of God. You can know. But what's the key? It's 11 now, so I've got to wind it down and close. What's the key? You've got to respect him enough to look for it. What happens when you knock? The door's open. What happens when you seek? What happens when you ask? But you know what it takes to do that? Time. Time to ask, time to seek, time to knock. And friends, when we go to the Lord and respect him enough, God, reveal your will to me. Like I said, first off, what do? We pray. Father, you said in all my ways, if I acknowledge you, you direct my path. I'm acknowledging you. I need to know what to do today. Direct me. All right, but after that, what do? And this is where people miss it. They look to all the wrong places. They look to other people. They look to other things. When the Bible says we're to look on the inside. From here on out, if you're born again, I want you to do something. I want you to look to the inside as much as you can. Look here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself should be himself, beareth witness with what? Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with what? With what? Our spirit. Not our flesh, not our eyes, not our ears, with our spirit. Where's your spirit? It's in you. It's in you. Go over this scripture and we'll close for real. Proverbs, we have to. There's another service. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. Well, we went there already on the screen. Sorry. Go to Proverbs 20, 27. And notice this scripture, we'll close with this. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. If you're born again, which I'm sure most of you are, your spirit is alive unto the Lord. Well, what is your spirit? It's the candle of the Lord. Well, what in the world does that mean? I always heard preachers preach on this, and I can remember, you know, being several years into ministry, I came across this scripture, and thought, what in the world does that mean? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And finally, I saw it. It was one day I asked the Lord, teach me this. I need to understand this. That doesn't make any sense to me. What does that mean? Okay, great. My spirit is the candle of the Lord. And he explained it to me in a way I'll never forget. And back in those days, they didn't have electricity. If you woke up in the middle of the night and you were in a dark room, there was no lamp you could switch on. There was no light you could switch on. If you went into a dark room and you were looking for your keys, there wasn't any light. There wasn't any electricity. The only type of light there was from fire. And so they would light candles, right? Now, a candle doesn't put out a whole lot of light. So if you were in a dark room and you were trying to find your keys, what would you do? You'd take that candle and you'd go around and search until you found what you were looking for. You know in that room, their keys are here somewhere, but you need light in order to see what you're missing. And so you'll take that light here and take it over. And finally, you'll come across those keys and pick them up. Here's the thing, your spirit is God's candle. When you need to look for things, you look here. When you're signing a contract, you look in here to see if you should put your name on it for 162 easy payments. But let me tell you, it's already a no. You know. When you're making a decision, where do you look? You look inside. His spirit bears witness with my spirit. There's going to be a witness there if I should do this. There's going to be a knowing there if I shouldn't do it. When you're about to do something and you know in your heart it's wrong, where are you looking? You're not looking at what all your friends are doing. Where are you looking? You're looking at your heart. That's his candle. That's where God searches for things. That's where I search for things too. If you're in a relationship and you get a leading, I don't need to be here. I don't need to be with this person. What do? You don't trust your flesh. You trust your heart. Friend, if there's any area not to miss it in, it's in who you marry. Well, friend, and most people, the reason why they marry, it's for the wrong reasons. Most people marry because of attraction. They're pretty. Look at him. He's handsome. Can I tell you this? Crazy makes pretty ugly real quick. All right? And he may be cute, but God knows if he's nuts. And with that, if you get tied into that in the wrong, and your flesh gets so attracted to it, but in your heart, you know, I don't need to be doing that. Friend, you better listen to your heart. But the same thing is true with every other area. That deal, it looks real pretty on paper. But God knows once you go to implement it, it's going to get real ugly. And if you get a check, what do? Because you're looking where? You're looking to your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your what? Your heart. Lean not to your own what? I'm looking here. I'm looking in my heart. If I'm getting ready to do it and something pulls me on the inside, God, your conscience is like a string. If you put a string on your and just kind of pull on it, that's what your conscience is. If you feel compelled to just go over here and do this, go over here and bless it, it's just something on your heart. Let's just own my heart to do such and such. I tell you what, I just trust my gut. All of those are natural terms to describe what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, look to the inside. Come back next week and we'll tell you what to look for. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come before you today. Bless these people. Let us all, Lord, know your will. Father, we thank you that we are not...